we've moved our keeper here. So that means I'm probably going to walk around a little more than I normally do. But I'm so grateful for what the Lord is doing in your life and in my life and what he has done, for we have the hope of everlasting life. I know that for many of you, this Christmas day will be different from any other Christmas day. It seems we have those as the years go by. Obviously, we have different people who are with us. I mean, our families, of course, gather with us often. But sometimes those things change. You know, families live far, far away and just not possible on one particular occasion or another. We also know that in people's lives, we lose family members, and some of those who are closest to us, who have always been a part of our Christmas celebration and our celebration of every part of life, are no longer with us. And so we cherish memories, and we have those times, and sometimes it will bring a tear, and that's okay. It's a good thing when we have those cherished memories and opportunities to think of what God has done, and then we get a chance to look forward to what he will do. And I would like for you with me to be thinking about what he will do. Christmas is coming, just a couple of days away. And as we think about that, I want to ask you, as a child of God and one who has grown in your love for Jesus and for all that he has done and can do, I want to ask you to spend some time personally in prayer. And in doing that, I want to ask that you would pray that God would increase your capacity, your desire, your passion for communicating the story that God has done in your life. You see, the story of the gospel is the story that brings us to this place where we can say that we have everlasting life. But that story is accompanied by how we got there, how we came to know Jesus. And so I would encourage you to be thinking seriously about your story. Where were you and what was happening in your life before you came to place your faith in Jesus? It's so important that we remember that. And then, how did you come to know Jesus? Who was in your life? Who is it that shared with you the Bible scriptures that helped you to understand that you were a sinner and that you needed to confess your sin and repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus Christ, receiving him and his promise of forgiveness of sin and the hope of everlasting life? And then there's a story that keeps going, right? What has happened since that day you put your faith in Jesus? Who has been a part of your life to help you grow up as a disciple in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is it that's been there and that you can continue to count on? Who is it that's prayed for you? Who is it that has taught you? Who is it that is available even for you to make a phone call and say, man, I just had a really rough week, and I don't know even if God is present. I don't know where he went this week. You know, sometimes we have a day like that, or a week like that, or a year like that. Who is it that you can go to? That can be a part of your story as well. And then, thank you. And then, as a part of that story, then, you need to be able to share that with other people. What is he doing today? What has he done in your life today, and how is he making a difference around you? Does he make a difference in your home? Does he make a difference in your thought life? Does he make a difference in the things that you entertain yourself with? Does he make a difference in your home life and all of the things, every conversation? You see, Jesus' presence in your life and in my life needs to make a difference in every part of life, in every conversation. And I want to encourage you to be praying that that would be the increasing reality in your life And I want to ask you to do that. Pray that these things might be true in your life in the coming year, even as you celebrate Christmas, and even as you spend time with family members this time. Perhaps there's a family member that has never yet heard the details of your story. Oh yeah, they know you go to church, and it's important, you give money to the church and various other kinds of things, and you value your relationships with people here, but have they heard your story of how you came to know Jesus? Take a minute and think of those people that may not have heard the details of your story. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. It will make a difference for them. That said, there were two other characters in the scripture that I want us to give attention to today, because we are getting so close to Christmas. We've talked about some of the other characters of scripture, even the bad guys, right? Caesar Augustus, Herod, and depending on how you want to think of him, the innkeeper, you know, who was just not willing to adjust and be able to help Mary and Joseph have a place where the baby could be born. And we've talked about the angel Gabriel. We heard about him again this morning from the kids. And we've talked about a lot of other folks. We spoke about the shepherds and the wise men and just the opportunities that were there. And then the angel host. Not only was Gabriel a part of this, but the host of angels, all the host of heaven. And I just, you know, I think we've always thought of that as being the angels that are a part of the presence of God and all of heaven. And somehow that would have been a magnificent and amazing thing. But do you think about the host of heaven, God himself, the very reality of the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the magnificence of all of heaven showing up on that shepherd's hillside, and the sheep that were there and the shepherds that were amazed and in awe? What an amazing story that would have been. But today I want us to look at Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, such important and integral parts of this story. We couldn't have done this without Mary. I'm going to be honest with you. God could have chosen any young following woman that he wanted to. But I think probably even from the earliest days, God had appointed through the lineage that we read in the scripture. You can see the story of all of the family background of both Joseph and of Mary, one in Matthew, one in Luke. We can see that there was a plan, and that God had orchestrated this plan for this young girl, not much more than a girl, but a young woman, of course. That she would be the one who had prepared in her own life to be ready for whatever God might want to do in her. And as we read this story, we're going to see that she didn't know from the earliest times of her life that she was going to be the one who would give birth to a Savior. She didn't know. Her life plan was to get married to Joseph and to walk along the path of Jewish life and do the things that were pleasing to the Lord. And her plan was to continue to just honor God with her life and live and enjoy life with this man named Joseph, who had chosen her and decided that she would be his wife. That God had designed all of this, but they didn't have any idea that on this particular time, just a few months before the birth of the Savior, that God would interrupt their lives in such a crazy and amazing way. And so I'd like us to read the story from Luke a little bit and just read these things about Mary to start with, because she's the first one that the angel came to, well, at least after Zacharias. But the angel came to Mary and spoke to her about the fact that she would bear the Son of God. And so in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. I'm going to read through verse 38, and so follow along with me. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I've not had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her, who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. What an incredible story for a young woman. Mary had been seeking to live an honorable and godly life. She had grown up in a home that worshiped God every week, observed the Sabbath, followed the laws, and practiced all of the things that went along with the festivals and various other things that were part of Jewish life. She had been doing everything that she knew how to do and that she could do to be pleasing to the God of heaven. She knew the stories of the ancients, of all of those from of old, from Moses and Abraham, and even all the way back to Adam and Eve. And she knew the stories that had been told, that had been described, and had been taught. She knew the stories of Jonah and the big fish. She knew the stories of Daniel in the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to anyone other than the Lord their God, and therefore were cast into the blazing furnace, heated up seven times hotter than normal. And yet, God met them there and preserved their lives. She knew all of these things. And so she was aware of the very nature of a powerful and mighty and living God. But you know, there had not been a lot heard over the previous 400 years, at least leading up into Mary's life and into the birth of Christ. There was not a lot. They basically had the stories of old. They had the prophecies that had been given. They had the promises that were there. And they still dwelt and lived and depended on those promises and those prophecies. But somehow, even then, a lot of Jewish life and a lot of even the leadership, the Pharisees and all of those, had kind of gotten it into their head that when the Messiah came, he would make a lot bigger splash than just a baby being born in a quiet, dark home manger. Being born in a place where nobody would expect to be born. How many people in the course of history have been born and laid in a manger? I don't know. You know, there have been probably some copycats. There's always copycats, right? But no one was going to be like Jesus. And no one else could be Mary. And so as we look at this story and as we think of Mary, I think it's exciting just to remember the things that were very unique about this situation. And of course, when the angel came to her like everyone else that the angel appeared to, he kind of had to say, don't be afraid. It's okay. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here. But you need to know that I am from the living God. I am an angel that has a message to you that God needs for you to have today. And I've come because of that. But don't be afraid. This is a good news message. And so the angel needed to speak that to her. But I want you to think about this as well. What would your heart do if an angel came to you and said to you what he said to Mary? I'm not going to go down that road too far. But I think most of us would probably be able to say, if the angel of God came to us, we might be able to come up with all kinds of excuses why I am not worthy for this thing that God has called me to do. I'm betting that no one in this room feels worthy for what God has assigned you in life. In fact, probably no one in this room really believes that you can do what God has assigned in your life. Well, Zacharias didn't think he could be the father of a child with his wife Elizabeth, because they had already experienced years and years and years into their old age of not being able to do such a thing. But we hear in that passage, in that part of the story, that nothing is impossible with God. And I want us to hear that part of the story also, because really in your life and in my life, nothing is impossible with God. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. My weaknesses bother me sometimes. But sometimes in our weaknesses, we think, well, God has given me this assignment, and I just can't do it. But friends, nothing is impossible with God. It was absolutely impossible by human standards, by every study of science, that Elizabeth would have a child at this point in her life. It just wasn't heard of. But nothing is impossible with God. What are the things that you believe that God has called you to? Some of you know that you've been called to speak the message of Christ to those who are around you. Let me just tell you, when I say some of you know that, all of you need to figure it out, right? All of you need to know that it is the assignment that God has given to every child who has put their trust and faith in Jesus, to be willing to open their mouths and to speak in praise of what God has done and tell the story of the gospel. Let me just tell you this. In January, beginning in about the second week on that second Sunday evening, beginning at 5 o'clock, I'm not preparing soup. I do that for our membership information class. But at 5 o'clock for about 3 Sundays, we're going to be studying a plan for sharing the gospel, for you to be sharing your faith. We're going to be studying a plan that's called the Three Circles. Some of you may have been familiar with it. It's an excellent way of learning how, in a very simple way, in 3 minutes, you can tell three parts of the story of your life and the three circles and how they work together and help others to know Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to be thinking about that over the coming weeks. I'm looking forward to it. But we need to be ready to tell that story. We need to be ready to tell the story of what Christ has done in our lives and led us to put our trust and faith in Him. Now, we come through, as the scripture gives us this, Mary, of course, said, "How can this be?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will accomplish this. This is God's plan for your life. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be overwhelmed. You will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is why, for all of the ages to come, this child that will be born from your womb will be called the Son of God." So she listened. And then in verse 38, she said, "I am the Lord's servant." There was already something true in her life, already an attitude of serving God. And she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. I want us to just notice two things about that statement. One is, she was humble. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. Whatever it is that he has to say, whatever it is he wants me to do, I'm ready." Ready or not, here it comes, right? But whatever it is that he wants me to do, I'm ready. So she was humble. She had a humility about her that was ready to receive whatever God might reveal to her. And really, she received a revelation that was so unlike any other revelation that anyone had ever had. But she received it because she was already walking in humility. And then she was responsive. She was ready to respond to the plan of God in her life. I want to ask you, are you in a place that if God were to speak something to you and you were to clearly hear it, that you would say, "I am your humble servant, O God"? Or perhaps you might say it, "I am your humble servant, O God." And then respond and say, "I will do it." That's the call of God upon our lives today. That's the call of God upon this church today. We are to be humble and we are to be responsive to the leadership of God in our lives. Well, I'm going to say one more thing about her in a few moments. But I'd like for us to read the portion from Matthew that tells us about Joseph, because he's that other character we want to give a little attention to today. So in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, we want to hear this part of the story as the angel showed up to him. Matthew 1, verse 18. "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God is with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him, and he married her. He did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus." Guys, do you understand what's going on with Joseph here? There's no man in this world who would know that he had been living in such a way as to live a righteous life and who had selected a young girl, and it had been agreed between their families that they would become husband and wife, and for her to show up with child. And he knows where he's been. He knows what he has not been doing. He knows that there is this young woman that his love had been growing for, but all of a sudden now, everything was different. Everything was different. And how could he believe what she was telling him? Oh, that's a great story you made up, Mary. That's a wonderful thought to think that God has selected you, but you know, this whole idea of you being pregnant right now, that's just crazy. That's nuts. I can't hardly accept that idea. It just doesn't make sense. But the Bible also tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. And as being a righteous man, he wanted to walk with God and obey God and be an example of godliness in his life. But here now, the woman that he planned to live his life with, it appeared to him that she had been unfaithful, that she had delved into sin, and he could not imagine that he should be married to her. If I go ahead and marry her, and people know about this, my standing and my position in the community is going to completely change. My standing before God, it seems like, might change. And he really couldn't put all the pieces of the puzzle together until Gabriel showed up. Aren't you glad that Gabriel was standing by and ready to do the bidding of the Lord? And so Gabriel comes to him and he says, I know that you're all stirred up. I know that this is a mess. I know that you really don't want to cause harm to Mary, but let me tell you something. Mary's telling you the truth. There's nothing about what she has told you that is not absolutely true about what has happened. He said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son. And you are to name him Jesus. I would guess that on that conversation that Joseph had with Mary immediately after having this interaction with the angel Gabriel, he came and he looked at her, and he almost would have bowed to worship the whole experience in a way that he would have to just say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that even in my human mind, I could have thought about you the way I've been thinking about you. That I could have made plans that I have made, and that I have even had conversations perhaps with some close family members about, or even perhaps his priest or a leader of his synagogue. We don't know. The Bible really doesn't tell us that stuff. Not at this point. But he went to her and humbly, probably begged her forgiveness and said, okay, I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready. So in this story of Joseph, not only did we see humility in the life of Mary, we see that same humility taking place and blossoming in the life and the heart of Joseph as he went to Mary and he said, I get it. I accept this responsibility. I accept this privilege. I accept this very difficult path that is in front of us. For we know that our community is going to struggle with this probably as much as we have. And as far as we know, they don't get to see the angel. As far as we know. So the community is going to have to take their word for it. This baby's from God. I'm pregnant because of the Holy Spirit. No, I've never been with a man. No. This is to fulfill the promises and the plan of God, the prophecies that we've placed our hope in for so long. I have no idea what kind of conversations Mary must have had, but those kinds of ideas must have been a part of that. And Joseph, very possibly, was shunned by some of those that he had walked with. Very possibly, he was thought of, and he says, "Oh, he's gonna go ahead and marry that cheater, that immoral young woman," which, of course, was the lie that the devil would tell. And he continues to tell to people in our world today. But Joseph was ready and humbled by the experience with the angel, and then he was responsive. How was he responsive? Well, he met with the angel in a dream. It says he woke up, and he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. And he married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Perhaps the more common and familiar wording of that, which I kind of like because it highlights and celebrates the reality that Mary indeed, up until this time, had indeed been a virgin. But that more common phrasing that we might be familiar with is that he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. Mary and Joseph, humble, responsive, faithful. Chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 of Matthew, we find this from Joseph. It says that he is remaining responsive. In fact, I think maybe by this time, he's hoping for an angel to show up. He's hoping for Gabriel to come and say something. But there came a very difficult time for all of the people of Bethlehem. And after the wise men had come, tells us in verse 13 of Matthew 2, after they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." And so Joseph was humble. He was responsive. And when I say responsive, perhaps that word could have been obedient. I debated how I would use that. But indeed, responsiveness requires obedience on our part. When the Lord speaks, it's not just that we respond and say, "Okay," and then go on about our business, what we want to do. It's that we become obedient to the Lord. And that is the responsiveness that we see as being true and lived out in the lives of Mary and of Joseph. And then we have this last portion, even as he had done that. Mary, as the mother of Jesus, went through this period of time, a very short period of time, less than a year. And after the shepherds and angels had come to the manger, Mary had spent a lot of time in meditation. And she didn't forget a thing that had happened. And verse 19 tells us, "But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them." It's good to remember what God has done. It's good to remember what He is doing. It's good to remember what he will do and to imagine the things that he has in store for you. But don't try to imagine too much, because most of the time we don't have any idea the scope and the grandeur and the beauty of what God will do. He is doing those things in you and for you, and he desires to do that. And I just want to ask you today, as we come to a conclusion, in your life today, as you walk with God, is there humility? It's hard sometimes. Has God ever asked you to do something and you've said, no, I can't do that? Maybe he's just asking you to wash the dishes. Maybe he's asking you to clean the toilets. Maybe he's asking you to clean up around the building where the people gather. Or maybe he's asking you to go to another brother or sister's house and serve them by crawling in and cleaning something up that nobody wants to have to do. Or just to serve and help and care. And do you say, no, I can't do that. That's kind of beneath me. I don't have to wash my hands after that. My clothes are going to get to be a mess. I can't afford to do that. That's an awful thing that God's asking me to do. I can't imagine having to do such a thing. Friends, those are some of the more mundane things that we might be called upon to do as children of God. I will tell you this right now, that I know people who wish they could do those things. People from among us who wish that they were able to do those things. But the bottom line is this. Have you come to a place of humility in your own life that you're ready? Whether it's the angel, or whether it's just the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God, or whether you read a verse in the scripture and it comes out so clearly to you that you're not doing that, and you need to take some steps to be obedient just to what the Bible says. Are you humble enough to say, okay, I've had my own way, but God's way is in front of me? Are you going to be responsive to that? Will you be responsive to God's leading in your life today? I encourage you to do that. By the way, the last thing that Joseph and Mary demonstrated was faithfulness. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Not one and done. Okay, Lord, whatever it is you have for me. I am the Lord's servant. I am your servant. Whatever. They continued for a lifetime until their death, honoring and glorifying and praising God because of what God was doing in their lives. And I know some people like that who are continuing to honor and glorify and praise and exalt the name of Jesus. No matter what has happened in their life, they've lost people, they've lost friends, they've lost leaders, they've lost people that they truly depended upon, and they feel lost. But they simply need to take that next step of faithfulness now to continue to follow Jesus, to obey him, and be faithful. God will bless. God will sustain, and that's what he's called us to do in our personal lives and in the life of our church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Joseph and Mary. In some ways, it almost doesn't even seem like a desirable thing to have to do what they had to do. But in other ways, we recognize that these were unique individuals that had been uniquely prepared by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so, Lord, we come and we ask that you would help us to be prepared by the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lead us and guide us and prepare us for those things that are ahead. And then, Lord, be glorified. Today I ask the question, Lord, am I humble? And I ask the question, Lord, am I able to respond appropriately? Am I willing to respond appropriately? And then, will I be faithful? Will I continue to carry the message? Will I continue to live the life? Will I continue to show others that there's hope in Jesus, that there is good news that goes beyond these days? Lord, we love you. We pray that you help us in responding today. Through Jesus Christ and in his name we pray. Amen.